This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and yesterday was fun talking about the Ducks a little bit. We're going to talk about politics today.
It's serious today.
I gave Justin the Duck Oregon Club.
Yeah,
Willamette Valley. A little bit of a pass on baseball because the Ducks did lose 2 out of 3 against the Beavers this last week in the Civil War series.
Yeah,
so middle of the pack in baseball. So we know if you're an Oregon State fan, you gotta look at baseball, and they're doing better than expected because they've graduated so many of their seniors, so many of their stars, and here they are tied, deadlocked in the top of the Pac-12 with two series to go with UCLA and Stanford. And they got to play Stanford. So go Beavers. Yeah, go Beavers.
You sure, could say that. Why not? They're an Oregon team. I could do
too
that.
Too much trouble. All right, folks. But anyway, welcome to Newsmakers. We're going to talk about some things that are definitely going to affect our quality of life and our wallets today that have been in the news. You've seen it possibly in the paper and on the television news about what's happening in the legislature. This is a big, big deal, folks. Interesting politics, and there's some philosophical questions of what kind of country and what kind of political system we deserve. We have, we want, we deserve. All right, so the tax bill passed the Senate, right?
I can feel the pain now.
So many dynamics about this. I believe 10 years ago, measures 66 and 67 in the depths of the Great Recession was the largest tax increase in Oregon's history, and this one's larger than that.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that one was $800 million, and of course this one is $1 billion per year.
Ouch.
In taxation. Of course, they're still calling it, you know, the Student Success Act and the Education Package and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's really just a buried sales tax with the terminology we're last week from NFIB, how they're calling it corporate activity, that they're taxing corporate activity, but they're actually taxing activity of mom and pops and sole proprietorships.
And our activity.
You could be a single practitioner or a dual practitioner attorney's office or dentist's office, or you could be any professional office. And not all big corporations, they always meant to make you think like they're taxing Walmart, right?
Right.
All right, let's talk about the politics, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And this is where a little bit of my idealism comes out, because the Republicans stepped out and they're like, okay, we get that this doesn't look good. And they exited the Capitol, so they couldn't make the vote because they didn't have a quorum, right?
Right.
So they look a little whiny there for a few days, but really just trying to slow it down. They felt like the House passed this, it's going to the Senate, they're going to slam it through, and
they did try and slam it through.
We need to slow this thing down. We can't just walk onto the floor and not have time to at least negotiate.
Right.
Right. So what they did do is negotiate, and it sounded like the Democrats agreed to kill the unpopular gun bill, and they were going to kill also the vaccine bill, which, honestly, I don't know if that's a big Republican win, because there are a lot of Democratic and left-leaning individuals that were against that as well. But those are two bills the Republicans wanted kind of killed and make this go away, and we'll come back and vote on this tax increase.
But they didn't really kill them. They sent them back to committee.
So it's politics.
Are they really dead?
It's dead. It's dead for this year. You know what I mean? And then
they always try and bring them back, though.
Next February, you can guarantee you can see that vaccine bill, unless all the measles outbreak goes to zero and so forth. It's probably going to be back. And the gun bill, of course, is going to be back.
Every year.
Every single year, you're going to see bills related to gun owner restrictions, right? And regulations and transfers. You're always going to see it. So it's I guess that's the whole goal when you live in a one-party state, is to get temporary victories, individual victories, one-off at a time, and temporary. But is that how politics? I mean, this, you're going to think I'm a moron in terms of idealism, but there's 30 people that serve as Oregon senators. 30. That's
right.
It's just a small body. There's 60 that serve in the Oregon House of Representatives, 90 people. And federally, we're talking 435 people. And that's what we have. We're approaching 400 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like what politics is done. This is why, you know, I joke about Brent as governor.
Right.
And what a great state this would be if I were the governor. I would make a terrible legislator.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't care what the party says. And I don't care what I get in exchange for my vote. I wouldn't care. My vote is going to be my conscience. It's going to be, this is good for Oregon and my constituents. This is not good for Oregon and my constituents. I'm not going to vote this way because I owe Representative Jones a vote. I'm not going to vote this way because Representative Smith is going to vote on my bill, so I'm trading it and horse swapping it. And my frustration with the system, and really good people go into this, and I count amongst them my friends, but we send people to the Capitol that like the horse trade. They like the game. They like the political as warfare, that embattlement and the tug and push and so forth. I don't get it.
I don't either.
I so dislike it, and it's discouraged by it. And it's like, just give me one man or woman and a vote. Vote your conscience, because it's so hard in the state of Oregon to find 30 people who will go into that building and only vote their conscience.
Good luck.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It does not happen. So no. What happened with this? You know, and this is how it's related to, they're going to kill the gun bill. They're going to make that go away. They're going to make the vaccine go away. Nobody has to vote on that, which is probably a favor to the Democrats as well. But they traded it. They traded it in exchange. You know, mind you, the Republicans didn't sit down and vote for this largest tax increase in Oregon history. But they showed up and allowed, you know, they showed up so that allowed a quorum so the Democrats could pass it without a Republican vote, right?
Mm.
But that's the thing. 90 people been doing the House and the Senate. And you just want, if anybody ran and said, I won't play any games, I'm not going to vote party line, I'm going to vote my conscience, you know, but here's what my value system is. This is the public policy I believe in, period. And people that hold their nose and vote yes on something they don't really believe in, they need to leave.
Yeah.
So this is, I know it's idealistic. I know it's not how it works, but the question is, shouldn't it be?
Yeah, right?
Shouldn't it be? People are like, well, this is what we have to give in order to get what we want. Well, what I want is the people on the other side to vote their conscience as well. And then you have to lose and win.
Yeah.
You know, anytime, I'm just really nervous anytime you see a bill that passes with no votes from the opposing party. Zero votes.
Yeah, that's a problem for me, too.
That's a problem for the nation. And I don't care. I mean, I prefer it be the Republicans than Democrats, right?
Right.
But if you can't get one Democrat vote, you have to evaluate whether or not it's good for Oregon. You know, is it good for us? I don't know. That's the problem I have. It's too idealistic. It could never work that way. It's a little Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of thing. But that's why I would make a terrible legislator, because I wouldn't let the caucus tell me how to vote.
No.
I'd let my constituents and my intelligence and my experience, and I'll do the education and say, oh, I believe this is going to be good for the Willamette Valley. I believe this is going to be good for Oregon, or I don't. But I'm not going to vote yes because I owe somebody.
Yeah, right.
Yes, because in exchange, this bill gets killed, or, you know, I mean, I get this amendment. And trust me, I believe in negotiation and compromise, that a bill has to be acceptable. And sometimes, and we get the best legislation sometimes, like we did when the Senate was locked and tied, you know, a while back, because they're like, well, you want that amendment. I don't really like it, but the bill will still be palatable to me. I still think it's a joint a win for Oregon if we put this amendment in.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's a different thing. That's
compromise.
Like you're compromising, you're negotiating what goes into the bill, but not trading your conscience.
Yeah.
Not.
I agree.
Yeah, that's bothersome. So, folks, hold on to your wallets. Watch how goods and services increase. And honestly, this is 2019, 2020, to 2022, right? Governor's race. See if education's any better.
Right? Let's do a little rule.
Let's see what happens to dropout rates. Let's see what happens to standardized test scores. Let's see what happens to English proficiency. Let's see what happens to STEM education. Let's see what happens to career tech education. Let's see what happens to class size, all of those measures. So you're going to take $1 billion a year. In the next few years, you better have done something with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Brent and Dave on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN, Salem is Listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. We're talking about things happening at the legislature and things happening in the news here in the Willamette Valley. So thanks for joining us. We were talking before the break about the big tax bill, the Student Success Act, and actually throwing down the challenge. Everybody put it on your calendar. Throw it into your Outlook calendar if you have one for 3 years from now and see what has happened in the state in education.
Yeah.
See what's happening. And we're going to pay an extra $1 billion out of the private sector and filter it through the efficiencies of government to supposedly give to schools and see if it makes a difference. And we're 12th by one measure. I saw that we're 12th in the nation on school on, you know, per student funding, right? Which is, you know,
12th.
12th. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
But we're not getting the outcome.
No, we're not.
Right? We're at 49th or something, 48th in graduation rates. And those measures that are important, we're talking about, so graduation rates, class sizes, standardized test scores, and all of these things.
And the teachers said they wanted this bill for the students.
So the question is, if we haven't gone anywhere, if we don't have material and substantial progress in education by 2022, can a Republican governor win? Right? Can you say, all right, so you tried the $2 billion fix, $2 billion, folks, on a budget that's normally $20 billion, and now you're an extra $2 billion all for education, and if that does not work, it's got to catapult us into the top 10 states in funding. Then there has to be something more fundamentally wrong in how we're instructing our kids in our schools.
It's called PERS.
And then there's that. Anyway,
you know that about 60% of that $1 billion a year is going to go to the PERS, and it's still not going to fix it.
No. Yeah, no. It won't, unfortunately.
So nothing will change in the schools, Brent.
Maybe we can get Ted Kulongoski on the show.
I wonder.
We can get Ted. He's behind a couple of initiatives, and they're going to hit the ballot, and he thinks he's got a couple ideas to reform PERS and move the state retirement system back, I mean, closer to being a 401k type system,
which
at least for new
be.
Hires and so forth.
It should be already.
And do away with, because the thing that's really expensive in retirement plans, and it's why most U.S. companies don't offer them anymore, is the pension, is this concept that, Dave, when you're done working, we're going to cut you a check every month for the rest of your life, right?
Which is, and more than I made when I was working.
That doesn't happen often.
Oh, yeah. I beg to differ.
Well, in PERS, it does. In PERS, in the Oregon system, it can possibly, it does happen, but it doesn't happen for everybody. Oregon football coaches do pretty well.
Yes, they do.
All right, so, but that is the unfunded liability they're talking about. They don't know how long people will live, but they know they have to come up with a check when they retire for that amount for as long as they breathe.
Right.
And in most cases, as long as they breathe and as long as their spouse breathes, right? So that is the most expensive liability. That is the unknown question mark. And firms don't, you know, a lot of pension systems went bankrupt when times were bad.
Sure.
State doesn't go bankrupt. They just go $25 billion in arrears.
In the hole, yeah. I saw a Facebook thing a friend of mine shared with us, and it had like 152 top PERS recipients. Top one was making over $1 million a year, right?
Is that a football coach?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then there was other people that were making, I think it was like 75 below that. They were taking home $30,000 a month.
I can live on that.
A month. Wow. I'm barely making that a year.
We should post that. We should post it on the KYKN news website.
It's public knowledge. You can look it up.
All right. So big important distinction. So, you know, the 401k style, folks, you're putting money in supposedly, and the employer puts money in if you're lucky. And then you have an account balance, and when you retire, that's your money.
Yeah, right?
And that's how it should work. There's no liability. There's actually an account with assets in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a pension, that's different. It's reliant. Your pension is only as secure as the company that's promising it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have a pension plan, and it's the onus is upon them to put enough money in and to have the investment and results so that when you retire, you get a paycheck for life. I've got friends that work for a major oil company out of state, right? He has both. He's putting in like 10% of his pay into a 401k style or a 401k at work. And then there is a traditional pension where the company is funding from profits or profit sharing. And so when he retires, he'll have a Social Security check and he'll have a pension check.
Nice.
And he'll still have the 401k balance. So what former Governor Ted Kulongoski's proposing is to move the state completely out of the pension business.
As well, they should.
At least moving forward. You can't go backwards. And at least moving forwards and just say, you know, we're going to put the money in and they're going to have the investment results that they have. And so be it. And then there's no unfunded liability. There's no latent down the line. You're going to have to come up with this.
You know how long it's going to take to fix that?
A generation. Yeah.
Like 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, 25, 30 years.
Oh,
I mean, unfortunately, I mean, it sounds
they
mean,
should have started that a long time ago.
Economically speaking, you're going to have to wait for a generation of PERS 1 employees and their spouses to pass away before there's going to be relief of this obligation.
Wow.
I wish it were another way. Anyway, that's important, and maybe we can get Governor Ted on and one of his representatives, and, you know, they're trying to get this thing on the ballot. There's two fixes that they're working on, and I think we should have one newsmakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we'll take a quick early break, if we could, because I'm going to completely change subjects.
Okay.
So we're going to go from the tax bill that passed and talk about burning garbage.
What?
Yeah, Marion County. And this is something I think is fascinating, and I think is super, super important. And it's another one of those things where right here in Marion County, we could do something as a sample to lead the country in something different.
Yeah.
But we're not, and we're struggling with it. So we're going to talk about burning trash. You up for it?
Okay.
All right, we'll take a quick break. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking before the break about PERS and who are the top recipients. So we took it upon ourselves to look it up for you guys before we talk about burning trash, which
right.
We'll get to. We got a couple more minutes for this PERS thing. And explaining the difference between a 401k style where it's funded by either employee or employee-employer contributions and a traditional pension, which is you're going to get a check. You're going to get an income check just like you were working for the rest of your life. Actually, individuals, the way they fill that in now, this new generation, that nope, because our grandfather's generation had pensions.
I mean, right. That's true.
My uncle, he has a pension from Montgomery Ward. Traditional pension.
Still
know,
going.
Big box store. Yeah. And he gets a monthly check. He worked there 20 years. After retiring from the military, did it right, folks. 20 plus years in the Air Force, pension check. 20 plus years in Montgomery Ward, traditional pension company, pension check, and Social Security. So what they say about in the financial advisor world, they say people who have guaranteed income for life, pension, annuity, that kind of thing. One, they live longer. Very interesting. Their stress is lower, probably. They live longer and they're happier people. And even if their nest egg is smaller, they know that they can outlive their 401k. And we've got a whole generation of baby boomers. I think they say 10,000 baby boomers a day are retiring in America. And they're all retiring, most all, worried that they're going to outlive their 401k.
I know,
and
I will.
And they're going to go to zero, and they're going to have that proverbial Social Security check to live off of, right? That's the
if
fear.
That lasts.
All right, so that is, but you, if you have a pension, a traditional pension, that checks, those checks never stop, and that's what happens in PERS. Okay, so you were bringing up David Joseph Robertson. This is an article from about a year and a half ago, but it was the top 20. And he gets a monthly benefit. He's retired, $76,000 monthly.
Monthly.
Which is $913,000 a year to be retired. And I'm thinking,
the things I could do with that.
A lot of these people are university related. A lot of these people are medical related. So he could very well have been, you know, a brain surgeon at OHSU. I guess
true.
I just look it up instead of guessing, right?
Yeah, you could.
But so here's the philosophical question, though. Should there be a maximum? Should there be a maximum in terms of these? Or are you sitting in a situation where with a maximum, then you can't compete to get the best talent?
Mm-hmm.
You lose it to University of Washington, right?
True.
Mike Bellotti, I was mentioning him before the break. He makes $558,000 a year. He used to be, at one time, was the top recipient with a football coach.
Right.
And now he's retired from football. And that's a hefty living. Joe Robertson, number one. Doesn't even say what he said. I don't know what he did during that money. He was making $1.5 million before he retired, which is a pretty good for a government job.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's OHSU president. I beg your pardon.
Oh.
OHSU
that
president.
That guy.
So, university president, yeah. University, a medical university president, I can see the salaries being that high. It's just the way it is. Whether or not we want to pay it, in a taxpayer philosophical question of high salaries. So, all right, that's it on PERS and why this is going to be a problem for an entire generation. All of these people on this list are going to get those checks out of taxpayer money and their promised returns that we can't sustain.
Right.
All right. I promised talking about burning trash. So we talked a little bit about this with Sam Brentano, the commissioner of Marin County, because right here in Marin County, that's what we do with the garbage. We've got a burner up in Brooks. It's a facility. It was built by a company called Covanta 20 plus years ago. And our solid waste goes there from a transfer station, and they burn the heck out of it, right? They burn it up. And it's really fascinating to tour. If you ever have an opportunity to tour it, you should. So basically, they are taking our solid waste. They're burning away pollutants, and there's special technologies, and they're different chambers. They do pull out metals for recycling, so that's great. And then they will they'll burn it, but they'll capture the particulates through. It's been a while since I've been there, but there's things that you can put into these burning chambers, right? And really high ceilings, and you can put things in the air that the particulates will attach to and drop to the floor, right? So you're not sending these particulates in through the smokestack.
Okay.
So a lot of what's coming out of the smokestack and burns is steam, and not just...
Is that the facility that's right off I-5 over
is.
There?
It is, yep.
Okay.
Yep, red and white stack.
Yeah, I know where that is. Okay.
So, frankly, I love the technology. I think, why isn't all of America doing this? And that's a very good question. And I've gone to state of the county forums where I raised my hand. I'm like, why aren't we building more of these? So now we're sitting here with an aged facility.
Yeah.
It used to be more economically viable and efficient when they were, when energy prices were higher, because they actually generate electricity through the burning.
I was going to ask what they generated out of
it. So they generated electricity and PGE buys it.
Okay.
And the amount that they get reimbursed has reduced over the years. Right. So I like the technology. As opposed to landfill, we're going to take everything.
Yeah, this is great technology.
Chemicals.
Get rid of all that stuff.
Hazardous waste, all of these things, and medical waste, and go into landfills that leach into our aquifers, and if it's not, you know, lined and this and that, and or you ship it off in the ocean to China, and God knows what they do with it, and so forth.
Oh,
so
they just plain old burn it.
I like the technology. Frankly, I would love to see us in Marion County make a deal to build three of these, and then we start selling the service to surrounding counties.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think I've talked about that, where countries between France and Germany, or I think it was Germany that banned nuclear power, and so France built a series of nuclear power plants near the border and then sold them the electricity.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So landfills are harder and harder, more and more expensive, regulated. Why don't we build three or four of these burners and let the surrounding counties ship it in? And because the outcome, sorry, I didn't even get to that part. When the system is done, because mm-hmm. they'll do an initial burn, they'll do a second burn, they'll do a third burn, and to get rid of these things. And like I said, they're using liquids and particulates, and I don't know if they use electrons or whatever, but they try to filter out the particulates so that it falls, and you get a sterile ash.
Really?
So you see it on I-5, actually. A lot of times you just see the covers and this and that, and there are big mounds of what is sterile ash. And we put that into a landfill, or we use that for...
And then just easily breaks down.
Yeah. It's sterile, and it's ash.
A rain shower, and it's gone.
It's not an environmental nightmare waiting to happen. So why can't we do that? And it's, of course, it's horrendously expensive to build. It's ridiculous because it's a government project. And so
right.
forth. But the Covanta burner. So they're at the legislature, and they're trying to get a bill passed to allow them to have some of these tax credits for alternative energy creation and so forth. So they're saying, well, we might have to, it may have to shut down if we don't get this, because we're not getting the income we used to, and the maintenance of the thing is more and more expensive as the unit gets older. And then, of course, I don't know, these people who are against it, maybe they should tour it. They say, no, these energy tax credits or trades, you can trade credits or get tax credits. That's for green power. That's for solar. That's for wind and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but they're creating electricity out of garbage.
Yeah, that's right? A pretty not, good green energy.
They're not building, they're burning coal.
Right.
Steam's coming out. It's good all around.
Yeah, steam's coming out. Clean ash is coming out.
So it's in the Senate. It's a law that would give renewable energy credit to the trash incinerator. So you've got Marion County lobbying for it, and you have Covanta, the company that builds it and operates it, lobbying heavily for it and hiring lobbyists to lobby lawmakers in the Senate. Senate Bill 451. If you think this is a good idea, by the way, folks, then call your senator.
Yeah, right.
Most of us are represented by Kim Thatcher or Jackie Winters or the Senate President Courtney.
Right.
So call your senator and say, can you make 451 move? I like what we do with our garbage more than I like thinking that we're going to take one of Oregon's beautiful valleys and fill it up with garbage.
That would be wrong.
Yeah. And actually, there's always this doesn't happen, here's the horrible outcome.
Right? Always.
We're going to shut down. And uh-huh. But they're talking, it says, well, a landfill, we're going to have to do mountains of garbage and ship them somewhere else in Oregon. And then what is the carbon footprint of throwing our garbage into containers and shipping them? 27 truckloads of garbage every day.
That's a lot.
9,800 semi-truckloads round trip, and they're saying it would go to Arlington and back.
Isn't Arlington filled up by now? Because that's where everybody else sends it to.
Right. Yeah, right. Let's send our
garbage.
Is there
a big, big hole in Arlington I don't know about?
I don't know.
Or is it that Arlington, that valley in there? Have you been there?
Nope. I haven't toured the landfill lately.
But I've been through Arlington over there. It's a really small town, but I've been up through the valley. It's a very pretty valley, but I can't imagine there's a place in Arlington that's big enough to keep taking the garbage.
Yeah, and of course, there's one in Polk County. On your way to Corvallis, Coffin Butte, and you know that's getting full. And I don't know. It'd be really interesting to say if, you know, hey, can we get a deal if we build three or four of these and finance them and make an intergovernmental agreement with Polk County and Linn County.
The amount of electricity.
Benton County.
Yeah, the amount of electricity they generate should help pay for it.
It does help. It doesn't, but, you know, there's going to be a cost to it.
Oh,
but
sure.
But they're talking about, hey, if we don't get these tax credits, then that's going to go to the ratepayers and all of us who are paying for garbage, folks. And this is where you listen to newsmakers, you find out what's going to affect your wallet. The garbage service is going to cost a lot more if a Covanta isn't able to claim these credits.
And your electricity will go up, too.
Electricity. Well, they've already taken care of that, right?
Because they tax it. Yeah.
Oh, I beg your pardon. They have not passed that particular $1 billion increase in terms of the cap and trade. All right, let's quote. Damon Mutt's story, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. It's fundamentally bad use of our state and resources to be diverting some of these clean energy incentives, meaning the tax credits, to what is the 20th largest emitter of greenhouse gas in our state. I don't know where he gets the statistics.
What?
The 20th largest emitter of greenhouse gas in our state. Really?
Greenhouse gas?
Yeah. There's a trade-off. You know, you are burning. You're going to have some that effect versus the breakdown and the methane gas when garbage breaks down. And so one is more immediate because we're burning it and it's going into the atmosphere now. And one breaks down over time.
You mean like the legislature?
Mary, hot air? You're saying hot air from the legislature? It's coming out
Green
of the Capitol.
Gas.
So Sheriff Jason Myers is quoted, that's Marion County Sheriff, saying that they use that and they're able to burn evidence and firearms and melt it down and stuff like that. So he's supportive of the bill. So it's that trade-off, and sometimes you just have the liberal dilemma in terms of, well, this isn't my ideal, but it is better.
Which is greener.
And what are you going to do? All right, 451. Is that what I said? Senate bill? Call your senator. Tell him push it forward if you believe in this. I'd rather do that than truckloads of garbage out of Marion County.
Absolutely.
All right, listen to Newsmakers. We're going to come back after this. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking about local politics and happenings here on Newsmakers, your place to get it. So we're talking about the Brooks Burner and a Senate bill. And we were talking about the tax bill that passed and the horse whopping the politicians do. And whether or not that's a good thing, I thought that decades ago as a young man, just too idealistic, but I can't let it go.
Okay.
435 people in America out of 350 plus million that had just go to Washington and not play the game. But everybody who gets trained on the game. Or you could send somebody who is naive and idealistic and get there, but they won't get anything. So in my fantasy campaign for U.S. representative, I promised all the voters I will have no power. right? I will have no power.
Good
because
luck in
I
getting
will not
elected.
Give up anything.
Yeah. Good luck in getting elected on that.
So we talked about Kurt Schrader a couple of weeks ago and how he did not vote for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to be House Speaker. That's huge. And
but nobody said
party.
Anything.
Well, and but so he kind of jokes that I heard that he jokes that, well, nothing, no legislation that only has my name out on it's going to go anywhere.
Right.
Right. Because he's made an enemy. He didn't vote for the most powerful woman in the House, right? Quite possibly the most powerful woman in the nation.
House That's Speaker, scary.
Right? And, but that's how it goes. It's like you have to play the game and you have to have friends and you have to have done favors for friends and you trade them and so forth.
This is why I don't like politics.
Why none of us like politics. But we always think that our person is fine, right? Everybody says hates incumbents. They hate the incumbency on the national stage and so, in the state. But their representative, they're going to vote for reelect.
Do you hold your nose when you vote then?
I never. Not often, really.
I've had to hold my nose a couple of times when I voted.
Sometimes.
It's like, who's the better person out of these two horrible people?
I've been known to vote off party if it's that bad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So. Anyway,
occasionally
I laugh about voting for a third party gentleman in the 90s. And I think I voted for him after I knew he was crazy. I still voted for him.
Wow. Wow.
I don't remember. All right. So a couple of quick things happening in town. I want to talk about the forum. Governor Brown was at the Chamber of Commerce Forum. And folks, if you don't have tickets to the Chamber of Commerce Forum, and I think this is the last one for the spring, and then they'll fire up again in September, but go over to Chamber website or give them a call. They have great speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few years, I remember seeing, we've had Nike representatives speak. We've had Alaska Airlines representatives speak. We had the governor speak on this just this last Monday.
Wow.
And... yeah, and sometimes it's a local thing in terms of the topic. So it might be our local school board races. It might be a variety of either cultural or political things, but also just a wide variety. We had a gentleman speak that was a general manager of a MLB baseball team, and that was several years ago. But we've also had people who were composers and orchestrators. My friend Dave Metzger spoke for major motion pictures in Broadway. So anyway, Salem Chamber does a nice job at these luncheons. It's once a month, and you can buy tickets, and it's the conference center. So this time it was the governor speaking, and she's trying to defend to a largely but not exclusively business audience.
Okay.
The people I see there, they're typically business-related, professionals that work downtown, but also a huge component of the education, leadership, and community is at these forums, and a big component of nonprofit businesses are at these forums trying to stay well-informed. So it's a good outlet if you can stand to take one lunch hour off from newsmakers.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Just you can always hear us. You can hear us on podcasts.
That's right. You can listen to podcasts later or the next day if you miss it. It's too bad. So she's trying to defend the recently passed tax bill, saying that this is a solution. It's going to be good for Oregon and so forth. I don't know how well that went off or how many people she was able to convince. So... but she did talk, which was nice. She lives in Salem to address a Salem audience and one of the most influential organizations here in town. I call them the most pro-Salem institution that we have. So the things that are coming and not coming. There was a financial assessment on employers that they wanted to fund for healthcare funding. She admitted they're going to have to set that aside.
Wow.
Said they couldn't get there. They said the proposal that they had in place that they wanted to push, that she wanted as part of her goals, they couldn't get the support from the business community. I'm not so sure that that's really stopped people in the past too much.
No. All right. Heck, look at the $1 billion tax.
Yeah. And this is another thing. It's a perspective thing when we talk about healthcare. And I mentioned this, that people will always typically cite how many individuals don't have healthcare and not percentages. But here we have the percentage. 94% of adults, I made my own mistake, I beg your pardon, health insurance. There's a big difference between access to healthcare and being covered by an insurance policy. Totally different things. Got to watch my terminology. Yeah. 94% of adults in Oregon are covered by insurance. 94%. 98% of children in Oregon are covered by insurance. That should be something to celebrate.
That's pretty high.
There's always a story and there's always a need and we need to address that. But they don't talk about in Oregon, 98% of the children in Oregon are covered by insurance.
Yeah.
Now, it might be Medicaid, right? It might be Medicare. It might be private pay, whatever it is. But that's a pretty good success story. And part of me is just like, stop hammering us. They're like, we're a horrible, horrible society in this regard, right? No, we don't have Canada system.
No, we don't
have Sweden's system.
No.
British system. You know, we don't have single payer. However, even without that, we have 94% of adults and 98% of children covered by insurance. But there's the tobacco tax, $2 a pack to go to the Oregon health care plan, and that business assessment that she wanted but did not get. And of course, we talked about this on Newsmakers, the affordable housing issue. And this is something we talked about how the speaker had to say about, which I was pondering if these are really statewide solutions to Portland problems or Portland metro problems, but looking for a ways to create more affordable housing and trying to make a business case for this.
Yeah,
businesses aren't going to want to settle here. Businesses don't expand here because there's not affordable housing, right? All right, so what else? Oh, Governor Brown, she just disappeared on me.
Uh-oh. Hate laptops when they do that.
I know. It's like, oh, don't, you know, it's that touchscreen thing.
Yes. Technology. It's great when it works, but it'll make you have a bad day if it doesn't. That's for sure.
All right. So at the Salem Chamber Forum. Dang it. I've lost her.
All right.
We're just going to have to talk about sports for the rest of the time.
No, we're actually out of time.
Oh, no. Well, we want to thank the mayor for at least showing up and speaking at a large forum here in Salem and thank the chamber for inviting her. Right?
The mayor.
No, not the mayor.
The governor.
The governor. Sorry.
So I was
really
like,
thrown off for a tizzy.
Wow.
All right. Yeah, we're nothing but technology whizzes here at KYKN Newsmakers. Anyway, good opportunity to see the governor speak.
Yes.
And that's it for today. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll have all new stuff to talk about tomorrow. I'm Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.